Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 44, Argument for the Existence of God. Episode 34 is entitled Science and Faith B, Self-Existing Law.
In last week's episode, we introduced the following quote from Stephen Hawking's book, The Grand Design. In this episode, I want to explore its implications further.
Over the centuries, many, including Aristotle, believed that the universe must have always existed in order to avoid the issue of how it was set up. Others believed the universe had a beginning and used it as an argument for the existence of God. The realization that time behaves like space presents a new alternative. It removes the age-old objection to the universe having a beginning, but also means that the beginning of the universe was governed by the laws of science and doesn't need to be set in motion by some God.
Let's take the statement, the beginning of the universe was governed by the laws of science and doesn't need to be set in motion by some God, to its logical conclusion. The first response any theist should ask is, where did the laws of science come from? It assumes that science self-exists. In other words, science is God because it precedes law. It is an inherent contradiction. But let's be fair, language is seldom precise. Though it is dangerous to say what someone else meant, let's assume that Mr. Hawking meant that laws came first. But that still begs the question, where did laws come from? A theist would claim that the existence of law is strong evidence for the existence of intelligent design, and intelligent design is evidence of God. That puts science right back where it started, having to explain the origins of law. The alternative is that laws self-exist. That is the most logical assumption, since Mr. Hawking denies the existence of God. Unless, of course, as with the creation of the universe and the origin of life, he, meaning science, wishes to argue that laws were created by chance. But surely the probability of that is so small that even science would reject it. However, the self-existence of law poses three major logical problems. 1. The age of the universe. 2. The accidental universe. And 3. The existence of life. Let's take those in order. First, the age of the universe. Understanding the first law of thermodynamics, we know that matter and energy have neither beginning nor ending. They cannot be created or destroyed. They too must self-exist. The self-existence of law means that the organization of matter and energy through law has no beginning nor ending. In short, the universe should be infinitely older than it is, older than time, as old as law itself. Science claims the universe is 13.7 billion years old. However, that is merely last week on the cosmic scale. Otherwise, science must claim that laws are latent and wake up now and then, which is contrary to law, logic, and science. If law wakes up, they must go back to sleep. The number one argument against the self-existence of law is the age of the universe. If law self-exists and matter and energy self-exist, then creation must reflect that and, in effect, be from everlasting to everlasting. You have the problem of infinity. That goes back to the claim of Aristotle that the universe has always existed. Second, the accidental universe. Science claims to have solved two of the greatest dilemmas of creation, the creation of man and the creation of the universe. Their conclusion is that the universe was organized by accident and life was organized by evolution. Let's first consider the accidental universe. Mr. Hawken is correct in claiming that the beginning of the universe was governed by law, but let's get at the heart of the matter. The four forces of nature are gravity, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and electromagnetism. As laws, they must self-exist. They all have one thing in common, attraction. The opposite of attraction is repulsion. Newton's third law states that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That too must self-exist. The Big Bang seems like throwing dice to see what comes of it. One must question why the singularity was formed in the first place. Why was all the matter and energy of the universe compressed into a point smaller than a subatomic particle, only to burst in a giant explosion that miraculously organized itself into galaxies suitable for life? It could be argued that a singularity is the single greatest creative act in science. It is the most highly organized state to ever exist. I wouldn't say in the universe, but of course the universe was not yet created. But for the self-existing law to create the universe by first squeezing it into a subatomic particle and then detonate it like a nuclear bomb to create the universe seems inefficient. In our experience, atomic bombs do not create order, they create maximum disorder. The dilemma is that self-existing law would not allow the Big Bang. Law creates order. The absence of law creates disorder. Here's a rule of thumb. Law is power. Chaos self-exists. Order doesn't. Law has one job, to bring order out of chaos. There is no law of disorder. There is no law of chaos. There is no law of luck. There is no law of probability. Science cannot explain the gap between the first three forces of nature, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and the electromagnetic force, and the fourth force of nature, gravity. The first three forces were instantaneous. It took gravity millions of years to organize stars and planets and galaxies. Every scientific explanation has one ingredient that will not go away. That ingredient is luck. Self-existing law does not and cannot allow for luck. Luck is never an acceptable scientific explanation. You may as well call it a miracle. What is the difference? The problem, of course, compounds. From the Big Bang, galaxies miraculously form, which create solar systems, which have planets. Everything is neatly packaged. All is well except for one catch. It is all temporary. Everything is moving away from each other toward a giant heat death. In other words, toward maximum equilibrium and back to chaos. The eventual outcome is one of two things. One, it remains in that chaotic state forever. Or two, the universe recycles, starting the process all over again, ad infinitum. According to Mr. Hawken, it is all because of self-existing law. The dilemma is that where self-existing laws exist, chaos does not exist. The two great opposites are law and lawlessness. The entire purpose of law is to bring order out of chaos and to perfect, protect, preserve, and govern that order. Else law has no purpose at all. If chaos exists, it must mean that somewhere in the universe, self-existing laws do not exist. Yet self-existing laws cannot be random. Random means accidental. Laws and accident are not compatible. Do self-existing laws have inherent flaws that once they gain maximum power, they self-destruct? Do laws stretch to their limits and suddenly explode? We know that laws have conditions, or there would be no science. No free will, no agency, and no freedom. But do laws have flaws? That cannot be possible. It inherently violates the very nature of law. A flawed law is by definition not a law at all. All laws are absolute, unchangeable, and immutable. If laws self-exist, there would be no disorder. Everything would be fixed, a perfect part of a perfect machine. There would be no consciousness. You and I would be mere cogs in a perfect machine in a silent universe. Self-existing laws would not allow disruptions of any kind. Those are the effects of the absence of law. There's only a law of order. Order and chaos exist, but law and anti-law do not. Order reflects the presence of law. Disorder reflects the absence of law. Total chaos is a total lawless state. If we accept the accidental universe, we must also accept the obvious. All creation is doomed to an eternity of order and disorder. Creation and annihilation, singularity and Big Bang. Does that mean that the universe repeats the same pattern for eternity, and all by the power of self-existing law? You do realize, don't you, that if that is true, the ultimate creator is the Joker. The universe is ruled by some malevolent being, not by self-existing law. Blind Gloucester was right. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport. There can be no accident, no luck, no chance, and no coincidence in the self-existence of absolute law. They are mutually exclusive. The very fact that we observe the world through machines of our own making, using the known conditions of law, is proof that laws do not self-exist. Conditions of law deny the possibility of self-existence and bear witness to a creator or organizer. Third and finally, the existence of life. The creation story from the scientific point of view goes from strange to stranger. Miraculously, out of the Big Bang, we have galaxies. Galaxies create planets like Earth that exist in the Goldilocks zone, which amazingly produce life. To science, accident created the Goldilocks zone. However, we do not yet have life. Life comes after the Goldilocks zone is created. If law self-exist, then the laws that created the Goldilocks zone must also self-exist, which means the Goldilocks zone was no accident. Nothing in the Big Bang Theory accounts for the existence of life, not even the Goldilocks zone. Life is in the biological realm, or science supposes. Therefore, science relies upon its God of chance again. In fact, it relies upon the Holy Trinity, chance, luck, and evolution. The problem, of course, is that you cannot have evolution without life. Therefore, evolution cannot account for the origin of life. A thing cannot create itself. First, if one believes in the self-existence of matter and energy, and that is a proven scientific fact, it is far easier to believe in the self-existence of intelligence than it is to believe in the self-existence of law. The self-existence of intelligence would mean intelligent design. Life is spiritual, not temporal. Mortality gives flesh to life. That is its primary role. The spirit gives life to flesh. That is its primary role. I am not speaking of purpose. God gives purpose. Science believes in the self-existence of law and in the singularity and in the Big Bang, but reject the self-existence of life. That poses a huge problem. Where did life come from? Science calls upon its favorite gods, luck, chance, accident, coincidence, and serendipity of circumstances. Just as the Goldilocks zone was created by accident, so was life, they say. Like the Frankenstein monster, life was created by lightning accidentally striking a bowl of primordial soup. If you can believe that, there is nothing you cannot believe. You can believe in unicorns, fairies, witches, gnomes, trolls, werewolves, chimeras, dragons, ogres, leprechauns, goblins, and mermaids. The greatest argument for the existence of intelligence, which explains the existence of God, and which explains our own existence, is the fact that intelligence self-exists. We, like God, are self-existent intelligences. Unlike God, we are not omnipotent and omniscient. That is why He is God, and we aren't. He created our spirits and our physical bodies in His image. But He did not create our intelligence. That too self-existed, as all intelligence must, or life makes no sense. If intelligence self-exists, why is God necessary? God gives purpose to everything. He gives purpose to law. He gives purpose to creation. He gives purpose to man. The greatest arguments for intelligent design are consciousness, death, disorder, opposition, variety, free will, agency, freedom, and liberty. God allows Satan and sin in the world. Self-existing law would not. The scientific theory that law self-exists feeds the notion of scientific determinism. It justifies science's claim that man is a machine. In fact, if law self-exists, I cannot think of a way around determinism. The very fact that we are having this argument suggests free will. Disharmony confirms that free will exists, and free will confirms intelligent design. The beginning of the universe was governed by the laws of science, as Mr. Hawking said. But Mr. Hawking was incorrect by saying that it doesn't need to be set in motion by some god. Without self-existent intelligence, there would perhaps be a perfect machine, but it would exist in a world of silence, for there would be no one to perceive it. It is God, the creator and organizer of laws, that gives purpose to creation and meaning to life.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.